the book of Ephesians, and it was entitled Together. Do we have that PowerPoint, David? 1 second? Okay. And if there's, I want to, Paul, in his letter to the church in Ephesus, he ties it up at the end, and it's sort, and he has a final word he wants to say. Now, I think actually chapter 6 should start at verse 10, but who am I to say where things are to start, right? There's an image I want to leave with you, and you've seen this image. It's the image from the Tough Mudder, which is and the one event called the Mud Mile, and it's the reason I want you to have this image in your mind is because Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus is a letter for the church universally, which is the only way you're going to get through this is together, helping each other. Because in that mud mile, it was all about, I help you, you help me, I help you, you help me, I help you, you help me. That's the only way we're getting through. There was no other way to do it. The trenches were too deep. The muddy was too slick. There was too much rain. It was just a miserable, miserable mess. But being able to experience the help from other people, to be able to experience helping others, that was exhilarating. That's why we signed up again for next year. Partly crazy, but partly the exhilaration of helping one another. And there's this thing about teamwork, there's this thing about doing it together that God has rigged life, that the only way you're going to experience life into the full is together. You see all these ministries that are taking place, ministries what Peter and Yesenia are doing, the Alpha, the different things that we do, Seed of Hope, whatever, you name it, the different things, the only way it gets done is we do it together. Chris made the announcement about financially. How do we get through that? Together. Because I can tell you right now, if anybody bailed, if anybody said, I'm not helping, if they all said we're not helping, everybody would still be there today. Frozen, maybe, but there. They may be right, but they'd be so wrong because nobody would have gotten through it. It would have been hell on earth. But it's about doing it together, and that's the emphasis of Paul's letter, because he really applauds and magnifies the church. He magnifies the lordship of Jesus Christ. And it's just fascinating. I want us to read from Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. It'll be up here. If you want to read it in your own Bible, you can. And Paul says this, a final word. And usually when you hear a final word, it's probably pretty important. Final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Now there's a few more sentences after that, but I wanted to end it there on that note there. Generally, you've heard messages preached, you've heard lessons taught, you've read books with the emphasis being on the armor of God and what we are to put on and all that, and that's good. And that's important. However, when I look at the whole context of Paul's letter, when I look at the whole context of the New Testament and all of Scripture, and I look at So what is Paul trying to say here in his final word? I believe what he's really driving at is what I would call two main points, or he bookends that whole thing on the armor of God. What are key for us? Because what Paul is reminding the Ephesians to do, remember, don't forget the depth of God's love for you. Don't forget to love each other deeply, because God did this magnificent work in bringing Jews and Gentiles together. That's his family, the church. And so there's two significant points, I believe. Well, I'm convinced he wants to drive home. The first, what I'd call, he bookends it at the beginning and at the end. And the first one is, you are not my enemy. You are not my enemy. Verse 12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of this unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Paul wrote this letter in around AD 60, 65. Let me tell you what was going on in the Roman Empire at that time. The area of Judea was a real sore spot for the Roman Empire. In around the mid-60s, Nero was the emperor, and he had a commander of his army. His name was Vespasian. And Vespasian had a son who was also high-ranking officer in the Roman army. His name was Titus. And Titus was given charge of Legion 15, told to go over to Judea and settle that rebellion down. Long story short, by 69, his dad, Titus's dad, Vespasian, was emperor. Nero had died, committed suicide. And Titus began quelling the rebellion. They describe it as he tore through Galilee, conquering various towns and cities. But his main target was Jerusalem. That was the seat of the rebellion. Jerusalem was. And by AD 69, Jerusalem was a powerful, powerful city. Like, it was like strongly fortified. It was like three walls thick. It was going to be a hard time bringing Jerusalem down. First, before they went after Jerusalem, they made sure that all of the region surrounding Jerusalem was contained. Then they started, in AD 69, they started building the ramparts and preparing for the siege against Jerusalem. In the summer of AD 70, the Roman army broke through into Jerusalem. And you know what they found? You know what they found? I'm going to read to you a quote from a professor at Penn State University. His specialty is ancient Mediterranean studies. And this is what he said. This is what he writes. Quote, the defenders of Jerusalem, the people of Jerusalem, were riven or split apart by all sorts of internal dissension and divided among three mutually hostile factions who were as keen in fighting each other as they all were in fighting the Romans. After 140 days, the city of Jerusalem fell. The entire city, along with the temple, were burned to the ground. He pointed out that they fell. It fell. Everything came down because of the internal dissension going on in the in-house fighting. That when Titus broke through, although he got all the acclamation, all the glory for bringing down Jerusalem and quelling the rebellion in Judea, Jerusalem fell because they were fighting amongst themselves. That bites. Like, if you're gonna lose, you don't want to lose that way. But that was catastrophic what happened. Catastrophic. Like, it was literally they devastated that city. Devastated it. But it was very easy for Titus, because when they got in there, they were already fighting with each other. So this was going to be easy, and it was. What they forgot was, What Jerusalem forgot was who their real enemy was. And it's just like what Paul says. We are not fighting against. He's reminding the Ephesians, you're not fighting each other. You got it? You're not my enemy. You're not. That who you see is not your enemy. That's not where the battle's at. The battle is with the spiritual forces that we don't see. The demons and all that stuff that's out there that we don't see. That's what we're at war with. Not with each other, guys. And he's driving that home. Reminding that. You are not my enemy, right? Got to remember that. That's one bookend. Now, that's not just for the church, by the way. Take a family, put internal dissension, it'll go down, right? Take a business, internal dissension, it'll come down, right? Take whatever, pick your relationship. Bring dissension in it, it'll come down. It just happens. Just happens. So you have to know who your enemy is. You have to know. Second bookend. Prayer. Paul says at the end of explaining the armor, he says this: pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion, and stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too, would you? You know what? It's really hard to fight with someone whom you're praying for. It really is. Try it. Husbands and wives, next time you're fighting, start praying for each other. It's hard. It's not hard to pray. You can pray. But once you start praying, it's hard to want to fight. It's weird. It's good. But you can't do it. But praying for one another. Praying, remember that we need cover. I need prayer. I need prayer. That's why, you know, the Lilies, they started a home group a few weeks back. And they meet at our house every Wednesday night. And one of the things I like about it, you know what? I get prayer. And they don't pray for the pastor. They pray for Scott. I need that. When was the last time you had prayer? Someone pray for you. Can you think? Yeah, you guys got soaked in it. Good answer. Yeah. Can't underestimate the power of prayer. Can't underestimate it. One of the best things we can do for one another is to pray for one another. Peter and Yesenia, they need prayer. Yes, they need finances. Yes, they need supplies. But more than anything, they need prayer. Why? Because they're in a battle. They're in a battle. We're in a battle. We need prayer, Peter. We need you to pray for us. You know, we're in this together. And we need to pray. We need to help each other. And you know, for me, I think of prayer as being much like the mud mile, right? Prayer is, as I pray for someone, I'm extending a hand out. But if someone's praying for me, I'm getting help to get up there. And I need help. I need that. We need that with each other. That is so vitally important. So vitally important. Life is meant to be done together, right? You know, we got to remember those bookends, what Paul talks about. You're not my enemy. And remember to pray for each other. Those are the bookends. And then we can get through this thing. Because sometimes life is like that, isn't it? Sometimes. Sometimes you're on the top and it's feeling pretty good. But sometimes you're in the bottom, in the trenches, and it's a little tough. But you know what? When you're together, it's sort of a party, right? It is actually fun, believe it or not. But this is all about doing it together, with God, with each other. And let me tell you something. When people come together, when God's people comes together, He celebrates with that. What's that psalm? Someone help me out here. It says at 133. And you know the psalm I'm thinking about. I'm looking for words. Yes. Yeah. Awesome. That's great. Psalm one, is that 133? Am I right? Okay. So Psalm 133, right? God celebrates in that in unity. And unity doesn't mean we all think the same, we all agree all the time. But unity means that we're together. We're together in this. doesn't matter. Come hell or high water, nothing's going to take us down. We're standing together. We're going to stand strong. We're going to together do what Paul says. When you've done all, you stand. You continue to stand. And God loves that. He loves when people stand. And you see, I believe his church has outlasted the Roman Empire and every other empire going in this globe because believers have stood together. They've stood together. Roman, all the emperors that made all their big threats, they eventually died. They eventually were replaced. And the church continued to grow strong. In fact, in the toughest times in those first 3 centuries, the church just exploded. In the toughest of times. Go figure. Go figure. But it's about doing it together. Are the kids coming in? Or are they just going to hang out there? Oh, they don't have to wait for me. What's that? What's that? Why? We want to, well, because we're going to be baptizing. And guys, you need to understand, I think we got to become really serious about baptism in the sense of it's a significant event. I know physically in this world, in the Canada we live in, Canada doesn't care if we baptize 50. It's okay with it. But it wasn't okay when those early Christians in Ephesus and the other cities, when they said, actually, I don't give my allegiance to the emperor. I'm going to give my allegiance to Jesus Christ. That was a huge thing. Read some of the documents that are out there. Documents that went back and forth from governors of different areas to the emperor and the reply from the emperor. There is one that I've read where the governor wrote to the emperor saying, I'm not sure what to do with these Christians. Here's what I'm thinking of doing. And it went like this. Something like this is that we arrest them. And then if they will repent, this is the words that are used. If they will repent and denounce this Christ, then we will all release them. Otherwise, I think if they refuse to repent, that they'd be executed immediately. What do you think? And the emperor writing back going, that's basically saying, it's up to you, but yeah, I'm in full agreement if that's what you want to do. Can you imagine living in that? Can you imagine saying, actually, I'm going to be baptized, realizing that I may get marked? But that's what they did. That's where our faith comes from. That's the church. That's the heart of the church. That's exciting.